Framingham, Boston. Disco Notes is being preempted tonight so that we may present a special memorial tribute to Bud Ballou. This is Ron Robin, and while the words of memorial tribute and Bud Ballou are rolling off my lips, my mind really still can't comprehend the fact that he succumbed this past Friday night to a massive stroke he suffered Tuesday night. During this hour, we'll hear some of what Bud had done in his over 15 years of broadcasting. We'll play some of the music he consistently said he liked, and we'll talk to some of the people who shared part of his life. While Bud Ballou was inherited by Boston in 1969, he had a special brand of humor that was sneaking in for a couple of years before that. You might remember, if you've lived in Boston for any great length of time, he used to fine-tune your radio just a little bit to get WKBW in Buffalo, New York. It could be heard nights in Boston quite clearly. And I think what he did at WKBW in Buffalo, New York, was fairly representative of just about everything that he had done, both in New York and other states, and of course here in Massachusetts.
Bud Ballou Showtime.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Bud Ballou.
You really couldn't sit still with the energy that Bud Ballou had. This was some of that energy in Buffalo, New York.
Mr. Tom Jones and the Lion on KB Radio. Hello there, Ballou, back on the music at KB Radio, your photo fair station. It's 23 minutes before 10 o'clock. Hey, I want to tell you something tonight, people. I really did tonight. I stopped a girl from being attacked at the photo fair today. I controlled myself. Today I did it. I finally found someone who needs a hole in the head. A whale.
I don't like it.
Atlantic Building. If you do it yourself.
I'm the Bud Ballou Show from KB Radio. This was a big hit back in the year 1965. But I still get a lot of requests for it today. Probably because of the movie The Graduate. Simon and Garfunkel.
Darkness smiles the silence.
Prophets and Music, Simon and Garfunkel on KB Radio. 18 minutes before 10 o'clock and about below the show from KB Radio. Listen, it's Memorial Day weekend. Will you slow down, dum-dum? There are people out there driving recklessly. And if you're not going to slow down, would you turn up your radio full blast? That way you won't be able to hear the crash.
Oh, come on!
Oh.
That's a low blow, bud.
Donnie in Buffalo, you give a driver an inch, he takes a fender.
Can I have
your attention a moment? Thank you, I like attention. You can see all the Selectro shavers available at all Century Wholesale stores. Prices begin at around $16. Quarter to 10 is KB Radio's photo fair time. Russ and Mary on KB, the entire association.
Play it, bud, play it.
The Association, what a great group. Six fellas, time for living. Now's the time for living at the KB Fun Affair. This year it's out of the...
And when Bud Ballou said that he really liked a group, he really liked a group. Bud really said what he felt. And this had to be his favorite song by the Association. On WVBF, you're listening to a memorial tribute to Bud Ballou, who was known for making us laugh at ourselves. And here in Boston at WMEX and at WVBF, he continually talked about places like Southie and Brockton, and he would always make tongue-in-cheek comments about these towns, just as he did when he was at WKBW in Buffalo.
Have some more, it's the more exciting beer. Wow!
Well, as the two termites said as they chewed into the woodwork, this'll bring the house down. Number one song in KB Country, Archie Bell and the Trails, and let's do the Tighten Up. Do the Tighten Up with Archie Bell and the Trails. Hi to Dick Lincoln and the gang down in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Got a nice letter from Dick this evening. You know what they need around Philadelphia? A good detour.
Paul's. Small pies. Offers. Paul's.
Small pies, the mini dessert with the maxi taste.
Outside of Buffalo, you mail your five wrappers for your album to WKBW Buffalo 14209. Limit of one per family. Employees and their families are not eligible. This is KB Radio in Buffalo, reaching listeners in 17 states. And I'm certainly glad they can't reach me.
And one of those 17 states was Massachusetts, that's for sure. But let's go back just a little bit before 1969, before WMEX, before WVBF, to Bud Ballou, that aggressive person that tried to make everybody feel happy no matter what it was that he had to do it. And that excitement always came out on the air. He was one of only a few people who traveled with the Beatles through St. Louis, Los Angeles, and Montreal as an interviewer. And the station that he was with at the time was wanting a promotion, a contest, to have people join him on his trip.
On August 28th, you might be in Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles enjoying the biggest Beatle concert of the West.
Bud Ballou's guest at this giant concert just by identifying the voices of the Beatles.
Each night this week, we'll feature a different Beatles voice.
Now, here's tonight's Beatle voice.
Well, I've always been a drummer, and I've always sat at the back, so I enjoy it at the back. And when it's not throwing things, it's a good place to be.
A different kind of Beatles song for this particular time of our lives. If you've just tuned in here at WVBF, we're presenting a memorial tribute to Bud Ballou, and if you really can't believe your ears, neither can any of us here. But we are looking back at some of the things that Bud had done, some of the things that he had done way back, like as we listen to one of the very early broadcasts. A very down-tempo kind of Bud Ballou for just about one of the first broadcasts that he had ever made, and this was in Syracuse, New York.
Neil Sedaka there, one from your memory tune, Jamboree, doing up Calendar Girl. Impact time! 18 now in front of 11 o'clock. Be nice to Mrs. George M. Roy, all over the WOLF listening area. The temperature is 34 degrees, the humidity 56%, the winds from the south at 19 miles per hour. The barometer is steady at 30.45, and it is sunny. It looks like a nice day in Syracuse, January the 14th, 1962.
We go back a little ways for that one, huh? Then there was the old clowning around Bud with even more energy than we may have remembered him here in Boston. Listen to the mental pictures that he paints when he does this bit.
And it's time now for our nightly edition of the Bud Ballou radio game. Now, as we do every night on three, you turn up your radio at full blast, right? All right. Now, this game is meant for people who are driving in Syracuse tonight. You know, it's slippery out and everything. All right. For people who are driving in Syracuse, on three, turn up your car radio full blast. But make sure you unroll your window. Unroll the window. Well, I don't care if it's cold. Are you going to play or not? All right. Unroll it then. Unroll. Way down. A little snow blows in, so it's a little fun here. Unroll the window. All right. Are you going to ready for blast the radio at three? This is especially fun if you're at a stoplight. You know, there's a car right next to you. Ready? On three, turn up your radio. One, two, three. Hey, fella, want to drag? Drag you for a beer. Oh, sorry, officer. I didn't realize that I was... Oh.
Burn up that corner, just to...
Here at WVBF, Bud Ballou stayed from 1971 right up to the end of 1976, continuing his concert reports. And his last air shift was in the waking up hours of the morning, when he and Mark Davis would sometimes clown around, getting people up in a good mood.
Good morning, New England. This is Mark Davis from Stereo 105.
WVBF. Morning. Weather for Mark is breezy, warm, chance of showers this morning, sunny this afternoon, we go to 70.
Guys down here been drinking, he said 70.
Tonight, cloudy with a low around 40 degrees, tomorrow sunny high back to the 50s. It's 59 degrees in Boston.
And that voice that was right in the middle of that Bud Ballou rap there at the beginning of the song was the voice of a hockey player, which he'd used considerably. Mark Davis is here. We were just talking about that voice because he's a hockey nut.
The hockey player was part of the program, whatever program he did, whether it was MEX or here.
the hockey player was on, and if there was a hockey game on, I don't know how he did it, but he watched every minute of that hockey game on the TV while he was entertaining thousands of others on the radio. Never missed a play.
That's quite a talent. And of course, you know, it's true. He would, he'd get very excited about that, or any other sport, too. For that
and
matter.
if he could manage to tape a portion of his nighttime program so he could get over to the Garden in time to see the game. Of course, he was very friendly with Weston Adams of the Bruins and a lot of the Bruins. And I remember another sporting event he never missed, of course, were Red Sox games either. I used to see him opening day almost every year. He was the kind of guy that you could tell was in the ballpark because you would hear him. He had that unique scream. He was such a such an avid enthusiast at ball games. At,
you know, it's the enthusiasm that carried through with everything.
His whole life. His relationships with people. I found him just about one of the best people in the world to work with. I know everyone else has probably already said that.
Well, that's because it's true, you know, and no matter how down you could have been, you know, you talked to Bud for just a little bit, and there was just that excitement and that enthusiasm, and that was the way he led his life. And I know that, you know, there were times in his life that were fairly difficult with a business problem or what have you, and he'd just pull right out of it, especially if he had to be on the air or go somewhere.
He had that classic rapport, disc jockey rapport, with any newsman who was on duty at the time. And it was a challenge to try and get through a newscast while he was on the other side of the glass.
Well, of course, it was, speaking of on the other side of the glass, that really hits home, of course, too, because we'd all worked at WMEX, Mark Davis, Ron Robin, Bud Ballou, and others who had been there. Oh, goodness, that goes back a few years, doesn't it? And there certainly was a glass between you and Bud when you were doing it.
That's right. We used to, you could look right through there, and something was generally always going on. He was such an active person. Just during those few minutes, during those short newscasts, there were funny things going on. I can remember one night, speaking of the hockey player, I had a story about Dr. Carl McIntyre, who I identified as the right winger evangelist, I guess. And right after the newscast, as soon as I got through with the weather, the hockey player voice came on and said to Bud, I never heard of that right winger, did you? You know, leading, of course, the hockey position. Mm.
True, too, when he talked about something that he was very enthusiastic about, even like on the air when he talked about music, when he said that he liked the song,
Oh, he did. It was not a put-on. He was a rock and roll fanatic.
And a genuine person. He wanted to say something, he said it. If he didn't like something, he said it,
you
for sure.
You could be walking down the hallway, and, hey, come in here, listen to this. Listen to the new record or just something he liked.
Well, just before getting to one of those favorites, too, the Supremes, You Keep Me Hanging On, because he always talked about that. There was, you know, talking about from a personal level, I had, as you know, had a legal situation in Jacksonville, Florida. And even before he had heard about it, even before I had called to ask for financial assistance, because I was on vacation, there were only a few bucks in my pocket and needed to get back because I had trouble with the car and what have you. You know, he, along with Steve Fredericks, had sent along money, and there it was.
One thing, whenever you called Bud, if he knew it was going to be business or whatever, first thing out of his mouth was, what do you need? What do you need?
This is one of those favorites. It's for you, Bud. That's another of Bud's favorites, and back in the late 60s and early 70s, Bud Ballou was quite instrumental in getting a lot of local groups into a place of popularity, merely, again, by expressing his views, and in many instances, they were quite positive about the group or about the song. Among some of the groups, of course, the Beacon Street Union, with whom we all became great friends back then. And then, of course, there was the group Orpheus. And Bud fell in love with this song, and so did the rest of the country. A WVBF Memorial Tribute to Bud Ballou. That was Orpheus, one of the songs that, because of Bud Ballou, became a national hit. 1971, Bud Ballou came here to WVBF and was a year before I did. In fact, he was the person who persuaded me to stay in Boston and come here to WVBF. I had had plans to go to California. And this was all when the station was just barely getting off the ground.
Hey, this is Jim Hilliard. I'm Executive Vice President of Fairbanks Broadcasting Company. I'm stationed in Indianapolis, Indiana, our home office. Several years ago, about 6 years ago, most of our New England friends will recall, WBBF was born. When we first entered the New England market, a lot of positives. We started scurrying the countryside, mentally, looking for how do we put this station together? How do we make it work? Who do we find that's New England? We came up with two or three names. Of course, the first one was Bud Ballou. At that point, I got to know Bud. Like most people, it's very difficult to describe thoughts or really reaction to what's going on. Like so many, it's a sense of shock, loss of a great friend. Bud was with us for several years and then went into a specialized type of activity in the New England area, which everyone knows about, but his association with WBBF has remained constant through the years. If Bud had a radio home, it was WBBF. A sense of loss, a great friend. What more can be said? We'll miss you, Bud.
Bud loved the Moody Blues. Because of the likable personality that Bud was, he became friends with everybody. Everybody loved him. Jay Williams, our vice president and general manager.
When we first found out Bud Ballou, I couldn't believe how positive Bud Ballou was when we started the station. Of course, that was in 1971, and WBBF was really nothing. It didn't have any ratings, and it didn't have anything. And I think what we really wanted were people who were energetic and very, very positive and very, very pro-Boston and very, very pro-new adventures and new ideas. And Bud Ballou was one of those people. He was so easy to work with that he made friends on the radio station very, very easily. And he made the job a lot easier, too. I think we all enjoyed working with him. And Bud was one of these people that you could go to with any kind of a problem that you had, or he could discuss any problem, I think, with you. He was a very open person, never showed anything as in terms of down emotion. He was always very, very up. And that was very surprising. Most people that you work with at times show very, very bad tempers and occasionally fly off the handle. But Bud was never one of those people. And I became very, very good friends with him because I could find that I could go to him with any kind of problem that I had, whether it was a business problem or even a personal problem, and discuss it with him. And it was a very refreshing thing to do. Bud and I, even very recently, used to have lunches three or four times a year at Ken's. And they turn into incredible lunches. They'd start about noon and we'd end up about 4 o'clock after maybe three or four Bloody Marys apiece and a little food. But we could cover virtually anything in either one of our personal lives, and I found that very, very, very refreshing. And I will say one thing about Bud Ballou. It's going to be really hard for me to believe that he's gone personally, and I'm sure for a lot of his friends it will be hard for them to believe he's gone also. I think for myself, I'd rather choose not to believe it for right now.
A definite favorite of Bud Ballou, the Moody Blues, and in fact, every time they were in town, no matter what town or city he happened to have been in, they would always get together, and they had become friends. Toward the end of 1974, Bud decided to do full-time what he had been doing part-time, working nightclubs and starting an advertising agency. And up until his death, he had worked regularly, at least for the past several months, at Gladstone's in Brockton, El Bolero in Wrentham, the Pub and Grub in Boston. And of course, his longest stay at any one location was at Framingham's Timothy's 2, where he was just entering his fifth year. Tim Hanna of Timothy's 2.
He was an easy guy to get along with, very friendly, genuine. Definitely a genuine individual. He liked rock and roll. That was his favorite music, in my opinion. He was very interested in sports. I was not, or I am not. And he was always very interested when there was a Bruins game on. Occasionally when he'd spin a few slow records, he would leave the stage and run into the office and yell and scream and jump up and down about a Bruins game for 5 or 10 minutes. He enjoyed that. I'd say he enjoyed the Bruins the most of all when it came to sports. One of the goals to his putting on a show at a nightclub was to take the people away from whatever boredom or perhaps problems they may have had. In other words, when they went out to a cocktail lounge or a nightclub where he worked, he was trying to give them a good time. He specialized, if I could say it that way, in having them have fun. There was no dull moments in a night. The music never stopped unless he spoke. And when you went to see Bud Ballou at a nightclub, in my opinion, you couldn't get too bored right away. He had a lot of records, as you know, but he put it together. He had the whole thing together like a puzzle. He knew the first song he wanted to play, and it was usually Mac the Knife. And he knew the last song he wanted to play, and it was usually Rock Around the Clock. And I have a feeling he knew damn near every other song he wanted to play. He was very interested in what the people wanted to hear, and he used to take polls in a club. And then he would tell the customers that we were going to play their favorite 200 songs the following week or the week after that. And they came damn close to the songs that Bud had picked anyway. But of course the people enjoyed that because they felt that it was their show. I'm going to miss him as an act for sure. But sir, I couldn't possibly miss him as much as I will as a friend.
Bud Ballou was 34. He leaves a wife and four children, ages 6 through 12. He leaves a mother and father and brother and you and me. This is Ron Robin. Good night. Goodbye, bud. You've been listening to a memorial tribute to Bud Ballou. Disco Notes will return next week. WVBF, Framingham, Boston.